Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. And the podcast. Anyway, listen, podcasts are becoming more and more popular in the show. Every day is turned into a podcast. Same show you hear every day, 3 to 6. It's broken down into hour segments and some specials in there, so anywhere from 3 to 5 podcasts a day, and anywhere you get your favorite podcast, you just search for The Rob O'Donnell Show, and you favorite it, and it gets sent right to your inbox. No searching for it, no having to worry about, are you going to be listening to the radio at a certain time on a certain day? You just get it right to you, and you'll hear the same, well, for the most part, same stuff. They take some stuff out. Like, they don't let Jake say bad words on the podcast, but you should hear him in his control room. He says bad words all the time. And there he goes. You just can't hear him because the microphone's in here. Oh, so states are filing lawsuits against the Trump administration over efforts to collect SNAP recipients' data. Trump administration has sought to collect private information on mostly lower-income people who may be in the country illegally. Listen, it's not private information if you're collecting federal money. You have to supply the data to prove that you are entitled to that money. So let me ask you a question, and let me get into the story here. A coalition of 20 states' attorney generals filed a lawsuit on Monday challenging the Trump administration demand that their states turn over personal data for people enrolled in a federally funded food assistance program, fearing the information will be used to aid mass deportations. So let me ask you, if you are a resident in one of those 20 states, and Pennsylvania is one of them, but if you are a resident in one of them 20 states, are you against the government looking to see if people who are here illegally are collecting SNAP benefits? Shouldn't we know that there's illegal immigrants collecting SNAP benefits? Isn't the whole argument that these programs are there for the entitled people who qualify for them, who need this assistance, not a bonus for people to flee other countries to come here to get? I mean, how could you be suing for it? Illegal immigrants should not be getting SNAP benefits. But, and they say, well, you're just trying to take the low-income people, the poorest of the poor, the disabled, the people who need this, these benefits the most, who need this type of stuff. But yet, they're fighting the government finding out to see if illegal immigrants are receiving it. And if they are, why? And let's get the benefit back to what it was entitled for. Not a bonus program for people to flee the countries that they're coming from illegally to come here as an incentive to come here, because that's exactly what it is. Everything we've done is an incentive for them to come here. That's why when Biden had an open border administration, people fled here in record numbers, because we were giving them housing, we were giving them health care, we were giving them food assistance. Why wouldn't you come? Listen, if someone offered you free room and board in another country somewhere, wouldn't you take advantage of it? I would. Now, I understand it's not a vacation, but free is free. So this demand comes as the Trump administration has sought to collect private information. First of all, once you apply for something like SNAP, it's no longer private information. You are applying for a taxpayer-funded benefit, and you need to provide information for that. And if the government who's paying for this wants to know who's receiving it, they're entitled to that information. It has already ordered the Internal Revenue Service and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to share private, again, here's the private information with the Department of Homeland Security to aid in deportation efforts. Again, if you are here illegally, well, you're not supposed to be working illegally. You're not supposed to be collecting Medicare or Medicaid illegally. The only reason 20 states are fighting this is because they don't want the government to know. Which means, if you use your common sense, it's probably happening more than we know it. And anytime these things are looked into, it's like, oh, look at all these people that shouldn't be collecting this, collecting it. So do we have these benefits paid for by the American taxpayer to help America's most vulnerable, to leave the promise that if you need Medicare, if you need Medicaid, if you need SNAP, if you need WIC, these programs are going to be there? Because as of right now, these programs are financially insolvent. They are going to go away, just like Social Security. And again, it's interesting how you've seen the entire Social Security argument go out the window. You know, we were all losing Social Security a couple months ago. You have to realize that every doom and gloom story that they told you for the past 6 months, none of it has ever come true. None of it has come true, from the economy to tariffs to jobs to the food and gas prices to we're going to be at world war. None of it. Medicaid's going away. Medicare, they're doing away with it. None of it. The VA, they're going to take health care away from all our veterans. None of it has ever come true. They have lied to you every turn. So why would you believe anything they say at this point? The Department of Agriculture told states last week that it had until Wednesday to hand over the data for those enrolled in the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, or SNAP, which serves more than 42 million people nationwide. The USDA said the data will help combat waste, fraud, and abuse. The state's lawsuit seeks an injunction to block the data transfer. In the meantime, state attorney generals in the SNAP lawsuit said they will not disclose what they consider to be private information of recipients, including their immigration status, birthdays, and home addresses, because they believe it would be a violation of privacy laws. Again, when you apply for a government benefit, you are giving up your privacy to justify you receiving these benefits. It's as simple as that. Now, again, this thing shouldn't be made public, but the government, who is managing the program with our tax dollars to make sure the right recipients are receiving the right benefits that they deserve, why are so many states interfering? What are they afraid is going to be found? And that's the big question that everyone needs to be asking. It's a bait and switch of the worst kind, California Attorney General Bob Bonita said in a Monday afternoon news conference about announcing the lawsuit. SNAP recipients provide this information to get the help feeding their families, not to be entered into a government surveillance database or be used as targets in the president's inhumane immigration agenda. Well, you know what? If we're going to maintain SNAP benefits for Americans, then we should be damn well sure that non-Americans who are here illegally are not receiving them. That's how you make the program there for the people who need it most. Because if we're just going to give it away so it's not there, well, then let's say that with anyone. The next time a Democrat tells you they're trying to cancel or do away with Medicaid, no, you're trying to give it to illegal immigrants so we get less of it. That's what you're trying to do, to be honest with you. So, yes, you are cutting grandma's Medicaid. You are cutting the disabled children's Medicaid. You are cutting these SNAP benefits because you want to give it to too many people and we cannot afford too many people. Well, then your answer is, well, we'll just tax the rich. Yeah, this has failed. Stop it. What are they so afraid of and for us finding? When you apply for a loan at a bank, when you apply for a department credit card, when you apply for anything, anywhere, you are giving up your right to that privacy. You're giving them your information so they can prove, okay, this person gets this or they don't get it. And then they want to hide it with a lot of scare tactics back and forth. What are they so afraid of in finding by giving this information? If people should not be receiving SNAP benefits, then they shouldn't be receiving them. And if you as a state say, hey, We want these individuals to receive these benefits, SNAP benefits. Hey, in Pennsylvania, if you're an illegal immigrant, we are going to give you SNAP benefits if you qualify. We don't care if you're illegal or not. We'll say that out loud. And you know what? Tell the rest of the people in Pennsylvania, the American citizens, the people who are here legally, that you're going to get a 30% less benefit because of that. Be honest. Stop with the scare tactics. Stop with the hocus-pocus shell game that you're playing. And at least be honest with what you're trying to do. Okay, Medicaid? Yes, we think it should be for our most vulnerable, our disabled, people with mental health issues, children with disabling diseases and chronic illnesses. But you, those children, you, those elderly, you, those most vulnerable, you're going to get 30 or 40% less Medicaid because we want to give it to everybody. Say that out loud. And they won't. They want to make it about politics. When they know these programs are failing. So someone finally has the guts to come out and say, we need to do something about this. We're going to research these programs. We're going to see who shouldn't be on them and should be on them. Let's cut the waste, fraud, and mismanagement. No, you're not. This is private information. You can't have it. I'm sorry. If we're paying for it, it's not private anymore. And I'm not talking about you or I should have this information, but the government surely should. It's like us telling the IRS, I'm not giving you my W-2. That's private information. Come on now. It's like you going to the hospital. I'm not going to give you my health insurance card. You know what kind of information they have on me? How do I know you check out? Stop it. Stop it. And all you have here is 20 states trying to hide that they're finagling the system, making you and I pay for people who shouldn't be getting these benefits to begin with. And you know what? It's affecting the rest of the vulnerable people who deserve these benefits, who need these benefits. And they want to hide it behind politics. The mean Republicans are doing this. We want to make sure it's there for everybody. What are you afraid of? Anyone who's afraid of transparency, is afraid of looking under the hood, is hiding something. It's as simple as that. And anytime we dig into one of these entities, anytime we start looking into something, we find whole bunches of people shouldn't be getting these programs. It's 5:22 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Well, I'm just told that this doesn't happen on the story that we were just talking about. This is from a news story today coming out of Fox 8 in Louisiana. Louisiana woman making millions of dollars accused of Medicaid fraud after buying a Lamborghini and having plastic surgery. A Slidell woman is facing felony charges after Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell's office said she fraudulently obtained Medicaid benefits while allegedly generating millions in business revenue. Candace Taylor, 35, was arrested Monday, July 28th, by the Louisiana Bureau of Investigation agents. According to the arrest records, the investigation began with a complaint from the Louisiana Department of Health alleging Taylor committed Medicaid recipient fraud by underreporting her income to qualify for benefits. Investigators said that she applied for Medicaid in May of 2019 under an alias, Candace Taylor, listing a biweekly income of $1,900 and no dependents. The application was denied. Less than a year later, she reapplied using the same alias and inconsistent information, the affidavit states. Between 2020 and 2024, Taylor is accused of misrepresenting, concealing, or failing to disclose financial information in order to receive government health care assistance. During that time, investigators allege her various businesses, get this, generated more than $9.5 million in revenue across multiple accounts under her control. Despite claiming no income in 2020, investigators said that Taylor financial records showed more than $480,000 in deposits that year alone, including luxury expenditures such as over $45,000 in vehicle payments to Audi, multiple six-figure cashier checks used for property purchases, cosmetic surgery, and high-end jewelry. She also reportedly wired $100,000 in exotic car dealership and made a $13,000 debit card payment towards a 2022 Lamborghini Urus. In 2024, 2 months after purchasing the Lamborghini, Taylor allegedly reapplied for Medicaid benefits, this time reporting a $2,000 monthly income and failing to disclose her ownership of any business. Agents also reviewed Taylor's social media, where they found Facebook and Instagram posts showcasing luxury purchases. Following their investigations, agents secured an arrest warrant for Taylor on one count of government benefit fraud under Louisiana revised statute. She was booked in the East Baton Rouge Parish Prison on Monday. The investigation is ongoing, and she's innocent till proven guilty. I just shared this story on my social media. But we are told this doesn't happen. Right? And states are suing that the government cannot check this information. Here you had someone who made $10 million, had a Lamborghini, plastic surgery, you name it. First of all, how's a 35-year-old making $10 million? When she gets out, does she need a head of security? Come on now. Jake, you can run our surveillance and electronics. We're all good. We're going to Louisiana. Simple as that. Check out the story. I just put it up on my Facebook, Rob O'Donnell on Facebook. And I just put, but, this doesn't happen, we're told. But yet it happens all the time. How is someone who making $10 million owns multiple businesses and a Lamborghini applying and getting Medicaid? Now it raised some red flags, yes. Come on now. Come on now. And I thank Wendy for that story, putting me onto that. Oh, it's 5:32, almost 5:33 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Well, it appears in Ozzy Osbourne's hometown, they're having a public procession tomorrow, Wednesday, their time. That's going to be before a private funeral event for the Prince of Darkness, as he was known for. But in a 2011 Times of London column written by Ozzy, in a Dear Ozzy column, the Prince of Darkness was asked if he had any plans for his own memorial, and he pointedly said that he did not want his funeral to be a mope fest, but instead a celebration of his life. I honestly don't care what they play at my funeral. They can put on a melody of Justin Bieber, Susan Boyle, and We Are the Diddy Man if it makes him happy, he wrote, but I don't want it to make I don't I but I do want to make sure it's a celebration, not a mope fest. And that's a quote from Ozzy. So I would assume they're going to honor his wishes. I'd also like some pranks, maybe the sound of knocking inside the coffin, or a video of me asking my doctor for a second opinion of his diagnosis of death. There'll be no harping on the bad times. And let's see what happens. It is supposed to be a private event. The Crazy Train hitmaker went on to say, so to answer your question, yes, a bit of planning is the right thing to do for the family you leave behind. Osbourne added, that's worth remembering that a lot of people see nothing but misery their whole lives. So by any measure, most of us in this country, especially rock stars like me, are very lucky. That's why I don't want my funeral to be sad. I want it to be a time to say thanks, he concluded. In 2023, Ozzy said he would die a happy man if he could express his gratitude to loyal fans ahead of his farewell show. Speaking to Rolling Stone, the musician admitted that his final wish was to feel well enough for one more live performance before his time was up. Well, he was well enough, and he had that one more performance. So that'd be funny if they get a recording in his thing of knocking in his coffin and him asking, hey, Sharon, give me a second opinion on the doctor and his death. Oh, just an icon. Icon gone. But his music's always there on the dial, so that's always a good thing. It is 5:40 here at WILK. Time for our last 2020 traffic and weather together. So the weather hasn't changed here since the last time I told you weather. Tonight, partly cloudy, low 68. Wednesday, tomorrow, cloudy and muggy with showers and thunderstorms likely, high of 92. Thursday, cloudy and cooler with showers and thunderstorms, a high of 77. It is currently 92 degrees here at 540 at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show as we start to chip away at the end of the show here. So Pennsylvania is definitely in play as far as chipping away at the Democrat majority through across the street for voter registration. The new voter registration data shows how much Democrats are losing support across the Commonwealth. On July 21st, Democrats had a 67,635 voter difference over Republicans in the Commonwealth. July 28th, Democrats were up only 58,530. That's a difference of about 9,000 in a week. There are 9,000 less Democrats in just a week from July 21st to July 28th. If that momentum continues, there is going to be I wouldn't be surprised if this continues. We'll be close to a 50-50 state come Election Day. So it's promising for Republicans. And Democrats need to get their act together. It's interesting because anything positive that happens in the state, the governor, our governor, Josh Shapiro, tries to jump on it like it was his bread and butter doing. Like the hunting on Sundays. He jumped on that today, and I called him out on it, saying, oh, we have 10 or 12 more Sundays to hunt. Freedom in Pennsylvania. Well, you had nothing to do with that, buddy. It was the Game Commission committee that decided what days and what would exactly entail. Now, yes, you signed the law that was already passed by both the Senate and the House. So you have a part in it, but don't make it sound like it was your doing and you spearheaded this whole thing. Stop it. Speaking of charlatans, let's move to Washington, D.C., where there's no lack of them there. Jasmine Crockett, congresswoman from Texas, she's a firebrand now. She's kind of been spearheading a lot of stuff as far as the attention's going, taking the spotlight off of AOC here and there. And I don't think AOC minds. I think, well, this story from The Atlantic. Now, The Atlantic is very positive towards Democrats. Well, Jasmine Crockett's not very happy with The Atlantic when they were doing a feature article on her. Now, she was very happy and all obliged to be part of their feature article. You know, nothing, everything to get your profile up and more popular. But she tried shutting down the reporter for asking lawmakers about her for a friendly profile. And it turns out that a large majority of her Democratic co-workers in Congress would not go on the record for her, saying that she is too controversial and that she, we'll see here. Jasmine Crockett of Texas lashed out at an Atlantic magazine reporter last week after the journalist reached out to other House lawmakers as part of a profile on the far-left congresswoman. 4 days before the story was published, Crockett called me to express frustration that I had reached out to so many House members without telling her first, Atlantic writer Eileen Godfrey noted in her story, which was published this past Sunday. She told me, shutting down the profile and revoking all permissions, Godfrey continued. So Jasmine Crockett threatened to I don't know what revoke all permissions means. She already did the story. That's not how journalism works, Jasmine, and you're a lawyer? No wonder you're a horrible representative. It's unclear how Crockett intended to shut down the profile or what she fumed over the reporting contacting other lawmakers, which is standard judicial practice. Crockett's office did not respond to a request for comment. No, why? Why would she? Threw a temper tantrum already. The profile included quotes from several House Democrats praising Crockett. I don't want anyone to lose sight of the fact that this is someone that is very fine, legally tuned mind, Representative Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts said of the Texas Democrat, who graduated from the University of Houston Law School and is a former public defender. People don't necessarily agree with her aggressive communication style, Representative Julie Johnson of Texas said. I'm thrilled she's doing it because we need it all. Representative Robert Garcia of California told the outlet that Crockett is one of the strongest fighters we have and that Democrats should be taking notes on the kind of skills she amplifies. Is that really what you're going with there, Garcia? She's the strongest fighter the Democrat has? Let's see how that goes. However, Godfrey noted that several other Democrats refused to discuss Crockett on the record. Senior Democratic staffers explained that some of Crockett's colleagues find her undisciplined, but are reluctant to criticize her publicly. She likes to talk, one of the staffers told Godfrey. She's a loose cannon sometimes. Does that cause headaches for other members? 100%. During her time with Crockett, Godfrey observed that the congresswoman speaks casually and can also be brisk. Crockett also monitors social media engagement like a day trader and is highly conscious about her self-presentation, the reporter found. During many of our conversations, Crockett wore acrylic nails painted with the word resist and a set of heavy lashes over her brown eyes, noting that the lock screen on her phone is a headshot of herself. So here's a supposed to be a friendly article by The Atlantic, a friendly news outlet for Democrats. And it really turned out not to be so much because Crockett herself created the controversy that the author of the piece decided to expand on to make it more of a story. And it is just that. It's also been reported today that Jasmine Crockett made a run for the Appropriations Committee, one of the more powerful committees in Congress. And she used the fact that she had a lot of social media followers as part of her resume for getting that position. Because if I have a lot of social media followers, people must be respecting and listening to me. Well, I follow Jasmine Crockett on social media, more so because of the train wreck I think it is and what she's going to say, rather than having any influence or confidence in her abilities as a congresswoman. She is cosplaying someone from the ghetto to try and relate to people who she could never relate with in real life. She's been privileged her entire life. And if she wants to pretend, and if people want to buy that pretend cosplay that she's putting off, then so be it. That's on you. If suburban white women want to believe Jasmine Crockett's a fighter for the inner cities and the communities of color, then go let them. But that's not the life she's ever lived. Sort of like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a poor girl from the Bronx. No, that's not how it was. She was from affluent Westchester. Who, yes, unfortunately lost her dad at a young age while she was in high school. And because of that, probably got a lot off her tuition in college. But then she complains. And just, you know, I saw AOC just the other day retelling the story about how it took her to get elected to Congress to finally get health care. And that's how bad our system is. And that's why she fights for the everyday people of her district. How this is not seen through, and listen, you have a $250,000 education from a major university in the Northeast, minoring in economics nonetheless, and you mean to tell me the first job that you could get, the only job you could get after graduation, was Congress? You couldn't find health care anywhere else. You couldn't get a job anywhere. People at Sheetz have health care. And I'm not downplaying Sheetz. Hey, they're making $15 to $20 an hour. If you're looking for a job, I highly recommend you go there. I just saw the Lakeland Orchard up by me was hiring people for $15 an hour. Now, yes, it's probably something extra. It's not a full-time job you're going to get there. They are seasonal. I get that. But don't tell me that the system's broken because you couldn't find health insurance until you got elected. You had to get elected to Congress to find health insurance. You have a $250,000 education. If you couldn't find a job anywhere else that had health insurance, you're a bigger moron than you've let on. And people buying your nonsense? Another one, cosplaying. You know, the little Spanish girl from the Bronx. You changed your name because you wanted to fit in with your white friends better because you grew up in affluent Westchester County. You were Sandy from Westchester. Not Alexandra from the Bronx. Stop it. But, hey, listen, they're buying this time and time again. Like this idiot running for mayor in New York City, Mamdani. He literally comes from wealth. Has never worked a job in his life. And all of a sudden, he's this socialist icon who's going to fight for the poor working people because he understands. You understand nothing. He's in a compound in his country in North Africa right now, texting in about the police officer murder in the city he's running for mayor in. And he's winning in the primaries. Even more so. This seems to be the platform that's working. Let's make up a persona that doesn't exist, that's easily checkable, and people are not going to look into it because the media is our friend, and the voters out there aren't going to look into it because they don't care, because all they're looking for is a hero, because they don't have anybody right now. And they'll look the other way, and they'll fight for us, and they'll donate to us. All based on a lie, on a fallacy. And it's working time and time again. Jasmine Crockett, AOC, this mayor candidate in New York. There's more and more across the nation. They create this persona that doesn't exist. That's far from existence for a life they've never lived. And yet time and time again, voters go for it, buy it. The governor of Maryland, Moore, said that black Democrats aren't voting for Democrats anymore because the system's racist. No, black Democrats are not voting for Democrats anymore because they've been lied to with policies that don't work and false promises for too long, and they've seen through it. But of course it has to be racism, because why wouldn't black Democrats vote for Democrats? Why else would it be? Well, because your policies suck. And nothing you've ever promised has come to fruition. It's all been based on lies and a shell game and a pyramid scheme, and that base is falling apart. But they keep voting for it. That's why in New York City, if they elect this guy, you got what you deserve. Let's blow the bridge and put up a wall. It's 5:57 here at WILK. We'll be back. Well, that's it for the Rob O'Donnell Show today. It's coming up on 6 o'clock here. Hopefully your day is done. You're home already or on your way home. Be careful of traffic outside. It's not too bad. I just looked at the map because I'm going to be sitting in it too in about 10 minutes. That being said, hopefully we don't have the same kind of news night tonight as we did last night, because I don't know if I want to go through that again, nor do I think anyone wants to go through that again. I was up a little past midnight with everything going on, and then all wound up, couldn't sleep after that because of my aggravation with the situation. That being said, hopefully it's just a normal news day tomorrow. Hopefully your day's a little better. It looks the rest of the week. After tomorrow, it's supposed to start cooling off, so that's always good. It's been hot. It has indeed. Other than that, be well to each other. It's a nice night outside. It is hot, but go for a walk. Do something nice when the sun goes down. Just enjoy the sunset with your loved ones. It's coming up on 6 o'clock here. God bless. Be safe. We will see you tomorrow.